Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of Fantasy Sports and Politics. It is me, it's Mr. FSP, Vic in the house and in the place to be. This show, or the programming on our network, is geared more toward sports and politics, hence the name Fantasy Sports and Politics. But there are times where we need to step out into the arts. We need to expand our horizons and do different things. And for this purpose, we have a great, great guest on. Let me tell you right now, he's an award-winning photojournalist, an independent author. This young man has studied creative writing while he attended the University of Pittsburgh. Currently, he's the owner of One Way Street Productions, a family and wedding photography company. Michelle, don't say it wrong. He'll punch you in the face. Michelle,
no, I won't. I'm a nice guy.
He'll talk with us about his recent book release, Miss Traffic. We'll discuss independent authors, self-publishing, as well as the book, and many, many other things. At first, I want to say that this gentleman and I, we come across this past summer. We are in the same profession. He's good at what he does. I'm just better looking. but with that being said, Michelle Saray, welcome. Sports and politics.
Hey, thanks so much. It's a huge, huge pleasure to be here.
Sorry, I got sound effects.
1 second. We good?
I got sound effects. That was my applause.
All right. Well, first of all, that intro got me a little bit pumped up, so let's try to calm down here. Thanks again for, you know, having me on the show. I started with writing when I was younger, when I was in high school, and then recently released Amidst Traffic, which is actually a collection of short stories. And it's been a ride. It's been really a ride to from writing, from publishing, self-publishing, going back and forth between writing and photography. In fact, for a little while, I actually almost abandoned writing because my photography business was picking up so well. And picking up so much and doing so well here in Pittsburgh, where I live with my family, that I had put writing in the back burner and only picked it up about a year ago, and I'm so glad I did because it's just really, really fulfilling work.
Good. I mean, expressing one's thoughts is always therapeutic, and being able to create short stories and share those short stories with others that want to purchase your material is outstanding. We're going to get into that a lot in a few minutes. But first, if you're listening out there and you want to talk to Michelle, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And you can jump in, or you can come to our webpage, blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK, and jump in the chat room, where you can just send a message, and if you're shy about talking to Michelle, you can always, you know, post it, and I'll talk to him for you. I'm always willing to help everyone out. So, Michelle, I don't want you to hit nobody or beat nobody up.
You act like I'm like this violent individual. I'm pretty chill for the most part. Authors are not known for their violence for the most part.
Except when you're John Gresham or someone like that.
Sometimes, I mean, there's violence to be executed in the writing and the stories themselves, but I try to keep them within the limits of the pages. Let's say that.
There you go. There you go. Michelle has this nice tiger shirt, ladies and gentlemen. You got it. Hopefully,
you should post that photo.
I will not post that photo. But
maybe I'll retrieve that photo and post it on Facebook somewhere. Well, the story, for those who are not familiar, during our little encounter back in the summer, we had to do a project in the D.C. area, and it was a project to help rebuild some homes for the community. And in order to do so, we had to buy long sleeve shirts. So Victor, myself, and another soldier decided to buy these insanely hideous tiger and wolves and eagle t-shirts just for the fun of it.
But we were the talk of the construction site. We did our
we were that and some more, I guess.
Okay. Amidst Traffic. Now you're saying it's a collection of short stories. The book cover is just your feet, well, your torso and your feet in the middle of traffic. It's a very well done cover, by the way. I don't know if you
Thanks.
Did it yourself or you have someone take the photo, but let's talk about this this collection of short stories. What inspired it, and tell me your favorite story that you wrote.
So it kind of came together over the years. It wasn't just a project that I committed to all at once. I started writing the stories when I was in college. I was studying creative writing. And most of the stories were a little bit of a reaction to a lot of existentialist stories and writing and literature that we were essentially forced to read. And those who are not familiar with existentialism, at least in literature, the whole premise behind it is that there's no meaning behind life. So basically we were reading entire stories and novels. And the entire point behind those novels after 250 or 300 pages was to tell you or teach you that life had no meaning. And as a reaction to that, I started writing stories that were the opposite, that were all connected, that had hidden meaning beneath the surface. And as I wrote one story, and, you know, existentialism essentially says that, you know, you live, you exist, you experience, you die, and that's pretty much it. It's more complicated than that, but that's the premise behind it. And I wanted stories that, instead of simply being a start, a middle, and an ending, beginning, middle, ending, it would just be influencing other stories. So as one story ends, you're only beginning another one that, even though it's a totally different set of characters, totally different set of experiences and desires being pushed forward, characters or the actions that characters take in one story actually influence the outcomes of other stories in the collection. And so I wrote the bulk of them over a course of 4 years, and then it was only in August of 2012 that I decided to kind of start pushing them all together. And I had to go back to rewriting. You know, I had to actually add 4 or 5 more stories. I rewrote about half of them, changed characters' names, changed locations, changed endings, just to make them fit together. And, in the end, I was actually really, really pleased. The title itself comes from one of the stories in the collection. And actually, Amidst Traffic, the story is about a woman who covers herself in tattoos in order to hold on to memories, because she has all these memories, all these poetic phrases that continue to slip away, so she tattoos them on herself. And the story ends with her looking out her window, and she sees this man in a suit walking in the middle of traffic. And it's intended to represent this idea that sometimes life is so chaotic, and we're so filled with traffic going back and forth, we feel a little bit lost, and we have a desire to be found or find ourselves in the midst of this chaos. So the cover, yes, it's me. It's actually bought a nice suit, decided to go in the middle of traffic during rush hour, and I had a friend of mine take the shot with some guidance and direction so that it could look just right.
Okay. Well, you know, you're very deep. You're a deep person, and your explanation of the book itself is, or that one story is, it makes a person think. Is that one of the focuses of your writing, in order to, as you said, life is more than just you're born, you live, you die. What type of thought process are you attempting to provoke from a reader of your short stories?
I think the word provoke is right, because most of the stories in the collection are intended more to provoke thinking rather than just simply entertain. I kind of battle and chew on different ideas from story to story. Not all of them deal with the same issues. One story would deal with the existence of God. Another would deal with our struggles with our existence. There's one story called The Problem with My Shoes, in which the main character thinks his shoes are talking to him, and it battles with the idea of insanity, the idea of existence. So each story kind of battles with different thoughts or different struggles that I've thought about over the years, whether it's psychological, philosophical, or theological struggles. So the stories definitely are intended for you to kind of chew on, reflect, and stick with you even after you close the pages. But again, the coolest thing, and there's a couple of stories in there more light, they're more entertaining. Like for example, there's one character who's overweight, and all he wants is to feel accepted and be part of a community. So he essentially joins a cult in college just for the sake of it, and part of the cult forces him to into this physical challenging test where he has to climb a mountain while they roll all of these boulders of rolls of hay down the hill, and he has to kind of like avoid being hit and being smashed back down the hill. And that one's a little bit more entertaining than it is thought-provoking. But for the most part, it's very literary. So the writing itself, the prose, I hope that people, as they read it, they enjoy more than just the story, but the characters, the way it's written, and the struggles that are presented before them.
Interesting. Well, where can folks pick this book up at? And that's going to lead us into our next segment, which is about self-publishing. But where can folks pick your book up at?
Right now it's available on the best way and the easiest way is simply Amazon.com. You can't go wrong with Amazon. Go to Amazon.com, you type in Amidst Traffic, just two words, and it should pop up. It's available both in paperback for $12.95 and on Kindle for $2.99. It's really easy. You order it, and then you get it right shipped to your door within a couple of days. And if you have you don't actually have to have a Kindle reader or a Kindle tablet to read the Kindle version. If you have an iPod, an iPad, Android device, or any tablet at all, you can download the Kindle app, download the book, and read it for less than $3.
Wow.
And my goal is in the coming months to be able to put it into independent bookstores, pitch it to Barnes & Noble to stock it in their warehouse. But it's a battle. When you're an independent author, it's every inch you got to earn it.
Well, that's the question I wanted to bring up. A lot of folks do self-publishing, and distributing is done through some other method. Explain that process and why you chose the procedure that you chose.
Yeah, first of all, you have to be either insane or stupid or really adventurous to want to self-publish nowadays. So I'm one of the above. Either I'm insane, I'm dumb, or adventurous, because the stats kind of hold, they're against you. Because in 2005, 300,000 books were published, all right? In 2009, only like 4 years later, 1 million books. 2010, 3 million books. In 2012, it was projected that 15 million books were assigned ISBN through the company called Boker that tracks all this stuff. So the number of books being published has exploded to insane amounts. So, like, you're really fighting against not so promising odds. But the fact that those numbers have ruptured that much is also an indication to the opportunities that have presented themselves for self-publishers, or I like to call them indie or independent authors, because yes, it's now easier than ever to publish a book, but it's also easier than ever to actually do it right. It used to be that if maybe 5 or 6 years ago, if you self-published, you're basically considered a vanity published author. People thought that, you know, a few years ago, if you couldn't get published by a real publishing house, you basically paid somebody an insane amount of money, like $3,000 or $4,000, and they, you know, printed the book for you and then just kind of left you hanging to figure things out on your own. But now the resources are out there. There's ways of submitting your book for awards. There's ways of getting reviewed, promote the book. And printing also is what's really made things easier, because even though, yes, Kindle is, you know, Kindle and e-books are the way to go, printing books is now more affordable than ever, and it used to be very difficult. In 2005, you couldn't really print your own book for less than, you know, $15 per copy unless you print a lot of copies. And that was the reason that a lot of people couldn't publish, is because it costs so much money. So if it costs you $15 or even, say, $10 just to print the book, not including shipping, you got to bump up the price yet another $5, $10 just to make any money on that. But nowadays, you know, I can print copies of Amidst Traffic for less than $5, and I can sell them out of the back of my car for $10, and it's actually, a decent price. Online, it's $12.95, but people who I meet in meet in person or just kind of chat with, I'm more than happy to sell it for $10 because I can. Those opportunities didn't exist just a few years ago.
So the independent author, it's very similar to the screenwriter, whereas there are so many different applications out there that a screenwriter can use nowadays to create their own screenplay for a movie. But the ease of writing the book, it's a little bit more difficult because you're actually developing a deeper story, whether it's a short story or a novel. But the ability of an author to, let's say, get with a publishing firm, how much more easier or difficult is that to do?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a lot harder than ever to get the attention of publishing house because there's so many writers or so many wannabe writers, and because submissions can be emailed in or uploaded rather than physically printed out and mailed out. You really can't discount that. Just the fact that people used to have to pay for postage just to submit a book to a publisher versus uploading it to a website has made their jobs a lot more busy. But nowadays, there's plenty of authors who have been rejected again and again and again by major publishing houses, only to go on their own, become independent, and then they were able to hit such a niche market that they sold hundreds of thousands of copies on their own, and then the publishing house said, "Oh, oops, you know, our bad. You're actually worth money to us, so we're going to give you a deal." So that does happen. It's one of the exceptions to the rule, but more and more you start hearing of independent or self-published authors who get picked up by publishing houses because of their successes that they accomplish on their own.
And hopefully you'll head down that path.
Yeah, we'll see. The goal is to project years ahead. You can't expect to be an overnight success. You have to really project years from the moment you publish a book to expect to actually do anything worthwhile with it.
Yeah. So, in your projections, how many books or short stories do you plan to put together between now and the end of the year or the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, so the collection is completed. The collection has 22 stories. The book is what it is. I'm not going to add any more stories to that collection. So when you buy Amidst Traffic, you get all 22 stories, which are crafted, edited, polished. And I've already sold over 50 paperback copies in a matter of 2 months, about 100 on Kindle through Amazon. And through free promotions, I know that I've had more than 900 downloads of the book.
Wow.
And it's just a matter of a couple months. So my goal, hopefully in a few months, we'll see, thanks to podcasts like this and bloggers. That's really the way to go with the help of bloggers. More and more people will find out about it, and hopefully that'll translate to sales.
I wish you nothing but success. Give the folks your web address where they can go.
Sure.
Find out more about your books.
My website is M, as in my first name, Michelle, msaure.com, and I'll spell it msaure.com. And there's more information about me, my writing, the book, and then I usually run it as a blog to write a little bit about the world of self-publishing so that other authors or people who are interested in it can learn about it.
We've got about 9 minutes left of live air, and there's a couple things I want to cover. But before I get to them, I want to offer listeners an opportunity to call in and give a little question and answer time. If you want to call in and talk to Michelle, the number is 347-637-3220. Again, the number is 347-637-3220. And Michelle has graciously agreed to answer any questions you might have. Let me jump into a different pool of sorts. Again, we're coming up on about 8.5 minutes left. You won the Broadcast Journalist of the Year Award in the United States Army.
Yeah, it
Explain
was in 2000.
To the listeners what that was like and what you had to go through.
Yeah, in 2008, it was actually for the print side. In 2008, I deployed to Iraq with the U.S. Army, and I wrote hundreds of stories, many of them were published across not only in our online publications and military publications, but published by actual newspapers. And obviously, I wrote stories about the military work and progress in Iraq, some of the struggles and the sacrifices that soldiers had to commit to in order to deploy, giving up time with family, and oftentimes even personal space and personal just personal desires in order to deploy for the Army. And so that really compelled me to write a lot of human interest stories. And when I was approaching the end of my deployment, I put together a portfolio, and I submitted it to the Army Reserve first because I was an Army Reserve soldier deployed in active duty status. So that portfolio competed among all Army Reserve journalists, and I won there. And then it got forwarded to the Army level, and I was awarded the U.S. Army Journalist of the Year for 2008. And, with the Army Reserve Public Affairs the Army Public Affairs is a pretty tight-knit community, but it was still basically you are the top journalist in the entire United States Army. It was a huge, huge honor for me.
Yes. I didn't compete on the print side. I did compete on the broadcaster side of it, and he's speaking the truth. To earn that distinction serves more credit to your craft and you as a person than a lot of things that folks try to accomplish in their careers or in the military. You will forever be known as when you're introduced, in my opinion, when you're introduced to crowds for your work, you'll be introduced as an award-winning journalist. And that speaks volumes, in my opinion. We have a caller. It looks like we have someone from your area code, the 4112, that wants to get in and ask a question with about 5 minutes left. We're going to bring them on.
What's that?
Let's see who this person is. Caller from the 412 area code. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. You're on the air live with independent author Michelle Saure. Please state your name.
Hi there. My name is Matt.
How you doing, Matt?
Oh, hey, Matt.
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you doing?
Great. You have a question for Michelle?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Michelle, what is one thing that he would like people to know about him as an author, like what inspires him or drives him as an author?
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for the question, Matt. I think my writing is really derived and driven by my faith in God. And faith is not something that comes easily. Both believers and non-believers alike will easily admit that a faith in God is a continual struggle. And I think my writing really reflects that. It's a continuous process of trying to resolve our beliefs and flesh them out in the form of stories with characters who suffer pains, who have desires, who have internal struggles. So that's always been my primary source, my faith in God, which is, I feel very convinced and very confident in my faith, but I don't discount the struggle that's taken in order to get to that place.
Great answer. Great question. Matt, do you happen to know Michelle?
Yeah, I know Michelle.
Matt is actually the guy who shot the cover of the book.
Oh, okay. Great work there. I can appreciate a great photo. So great work with that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Do you have anything else you would like to talk to Michelle about before we move on?
No, that was the only question I had. Thank you for taking it.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for calling in, Matt. You have a wonderful day. Stick around. We've got about 3 minutes left of live air. We'll probably, we won't get to another call. We're running up on time. So thanks, Matt, for your call. Michelle. Faith is a huge, huge thing. When we're discussing someone's life and how they live their life and what they do. Again, we're running up on the time with 3 minutes, but I want you to expound as quick as you can in reference to what part of faith is in your book?
So
stories, or is it just fully based on other things?
The book is Christian in theology. It definitely takes a look at the sovereignty of God, the work of salvation, but mostly it's just intended to be an open-ended discussion that any reader can open up the book, be compelled by the questions being presented in each story, and hopefully be motivated to, open up in dialogue and conversation with other readers. It's not intended to bash atheists, and it's not intended to proclaim Christians victorious. It's really aimed at opening up the dialogue.
Okay. That's all one can ask. Open up dialogue.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah, it is. Once you have a discussion about anything, you get to see viewpoints from others that might not be like you, look like you, or act like you, and think like you. But at least you get an insight to what it is they do. That didn't sound right. But we'll go with it. We've got about 90 seconds. Is there anything left for you to speak about or promote or you want to say to the listeners out there before we go?
Yeah, first of all, thanks again, Victor, for having me on. I really honestly appreciate it. And for all the listeners who took the time to listen in, I'm extremely proud of this work. Amidst Traffic is a work that has taken me years of work writing, months of editing, and I hope that if you pick it up, you truly enjoy it and love it. That's all.
All right. Amidst in Traffic, go to Amazon.com, type in two words, ADMIST space traffic, TRAFFIC. Or I think we can look it up by your name, correct?
Yep. You can, the spelling is a little bit funky, so you can go just www.msaray.com.
All right, go to the website, get him a little traffic there as well as his book. I want to thank Michelle for coming on. I want to thank all the listeners for taking time out to listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics Special Edition. Independent author Michelle Saray, Amidst in Traffic. Matt, thanks for calling in, and all the listeners out there, take time to listen. We'll be here on Thursday with our regular FS Crew show. bringing you a lot of information, sports-wise. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy your night. Thanks again, Mike. I'll see you later, all right?
All right, take care. Thanks, bud.
Not a problem. And ladies and gentlemen, we're out of here.
Fantasy sports and politics.
You want to get ready to rumble?
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 yeah. other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.